Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 247, A Monster Calls.
Yeah. I am Groot.
I know. That's all I can think the whole time.
How do you not?
Groot's origin story.
Yeah, I was like, you know, if they could just get rid of Vin Diesel, Liam needs it to be an all right Groot. Or that's all I'm saying.
Treebeard.
Or Treebeard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like Treebeard.
So before we begin, we'll go on the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, all that fancy stuff. Really helps us out. And it strokes our ego. And since we don't get paid in money, except for Kevin,
apparently.
He's been pocketing our money. Yeah.
He paid for a car wash.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. It was really snowy. I had to wash the car.
I noticed your car seemed especially crisp and clean.
Yeah.
We're all covered in
the salt and soot and grossness.
And don't worry, it's covered in monster orange now.
A Monster Calls orange.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can go there, do all that stuff. It helps us a lot, and we appreciate it. So now we will tackle the movie proper. Joe, yeah, will synopsis aside.
So
you watched this with your 6-year-old daughter, right?
I did not. Yeah, and I'm like, glad
this,
I didn't.
Yeah, like that's like this. So, okay, this is what I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
I think this is that bridge movie. Like, I think this is in the vein of Labyrinth or Dark Crystal or
we'll put it after further down the bridge, further across the bridge.
Yeah. Like it's that bridge movie that'll mm-hmm. bridge a gap between a 7-year-old can watch and handle and cope with, maybe, compared to what a 10-year-old can watch. And I think it's in that vein of those movies, but it's intense.
There's a lot
of stuff going on in this movie.
It's like, I know it's getting a lot of critical acclaim for
and
finally
it should.
Being, but here, it's getting a lot of critical acclaim for a kid's movie that actually gives a crap and is well done, like a well done, intricate kid's movie, right? But man, a kid's movie, like what age do you...
I would call it a preteen movie.
But it's like, is it a... But that's the thing. It's like on that board. Like, how do they sell this movie? Is it a really deep kids movie, or is it an adult movie that has a kid as a main character?
I think the 10-year-old, 11-year-old version of me would have loved... Like, this would have been a big movie for me at that age.
Yeah.
You think 10 is old enough?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I think it depends on the 10-year-old.
I guess
just,
that's true.
It's just, man, it is a deep movie. It's heavy.
Yeah, it's heavy.
And
it doesn't pull any punches, that's for sure.
It doesn't. Yeah.
So that's what it's getting acclaim for.
Right. So we're introduced to our main character who's a little kid and he's getting picked on all the time and he's got some other stuff going on at home. And they don't really clue you in as to what's going on at home initially. Just that, like, you know, his mom, it's just him and his mom. And so he's
played by
Felicity Jones,
yeah.
who looks completely different.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a reason, but right. we find out why she looks different.
Big year for her. I mean, she's had a few really big movies.
Yeah, I mean, she was in Inferno. She was in Rogue One.
Just this year, yeah, Rogue One, Inferno, this. And then before that, it was it The Theory of Everything? She
yeah.
was the
Yeah, she's the lead, love
so
interest.
It's like, man, she's been on
well,
fire.
I jokingly said that about Amy Adams, where it's just like, I don't think we've ever done a movie where the same actress pops up 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had an actress pop up this many times in a year. I mean, I guess technically this is 2017, but consistently we've talked about movies that she's been in.
Jennifer Lawrence is probably one.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
She's
I don't really
up.
Count that, though, because it was The Hunger Games.
Yeah, but
it still counts.
I guess.
She made count. A movie.
That, no. I but it's not like she's not playing a different character.
Yeah, but like she would be in like The Hunger Games, and then she'd be
oh, an American
Joy.
Hustle.
An American Hustle
yeah,
or Joy.
True.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's a good point. All right. So, yeah, this kid is getting picked on, and he's also, you know, he reads comic books. And I was in immediately, and I was like,
oh, well, oh, serves man. Him right.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not even that. I was like, I was this kid. Like, this kid was me at that age, right? You know, I was small, and I read comic books, and I got picked on all the time. So immediately, like, I'm invested in this kid's well-being. And as the story progresses, we learn that this things at home aren't all that great. And he finds you think that he has found this way to escape the reality of his current situation by this giant tree. I don't know what else. Like, it's Groot. Like, there. I hate saying that, but when Disney and Marvel put out Guardians of the Galaxy and they do a giant tree monster, and then you pretty much copy what they do.
It's not just that it's about a tree. It's the character design
looks just like him.
Looks,
well, it's a tree.
Yeah,
but I mean,
know,
even the way he moves.
Know, been a birch.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's a tree or tree beard. I mean, it's a walking tree with, you know, arms and
legs.
Yeah,
I'd say tree beard's probably more similar than Groot.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, Groot has three words.
Yeah.
Design wise, though, I would liken it more to tree beard design wise. But
I mean,
Groot's
even,
fresh.
Yeah, but even like when he would like move his back would like pop up and like all of the. You know, Groot would do. I don't remember Treebeard that happening. Like, he was just the tree. Like, it was.
Well,
like,
he moved. He walked.
He did. But I mean, like, he would like
his leaves.
His leaves were part
intact.
Of him and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So, not Groot.
So
starts,
very well done, not Groot.
And he looks.
Great.
I'll tell you what. Whatever the budget was on this, they
like
put
$40 million.
They put everything into that.
They
movie,
did,
and it looked good.
They did a fantastic job with the animation, and I think they even maybe built a huge.
I think that there's some of that in there that is definitely practical.
I think
effects.
They built, you know, to scale.
Like
it's not as big as it would really be, but they built a gigantic tree monster.
Yeah.
I believe that
there's
that
certain
they could
scenes
film some
where the kid
stuff.
Is like on top of like in his palm of his hand, and that hand looked very real.
So yeah, great looking.
Yeah, so he starts telling them these. He said, you know, I'm going to give you three stories.
It's like the ghost of.
It is kind of like a Christmas story.
Carol.
A Christmas Carol.
I thought the scene where he comes in and grabs him by. The tree hand comes in and grabs him. I thought it was a nice nod to King Kong. Because
he's
watching
King
Kong earlier.
King Kong.
And that's exactly how
he
pulls.
What's her name?
Fay Wray
through the window.
Well, I think it's smart because this
is
going
her character,
on.
Her character was Fay Wray. And
no, that's the actress's name.
It was Faye Dunaway, wasn't it?
No.
Who
I'm talking about the one from the 30s.
Was it Faye Dunaway in the remake?
No.
Who was in the Jessica Lange?
Jessica
Lange. Okay.
So, I mean, it makes sense because it's in his imagination. He's imagining this.
Yeah, he's just
been watching King Kong, so that is a great.
Yeah. Right. I did like his, where he was just like, why are they shooting him? And he was just like, she's like, I don't know. And he was like, well, they deserve to die then.
Yeah.
And then he falls off. And he has a moment where he was just like, oh, man, like, he is the good guy.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't want to hurt anybody. He just wanted his lady. So yeah, the tree monster kind of comes in and says, I'm going to give you three stories, and then at the end of these three stories, you're going to tell me your truth, and you're going to tell me that nightmare. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
At first he says, you're going to tell me a fourth story. I don't think he gets into what it is.
I think
first.
He tells him.
He tells him right away, you're going to tell me a fourth story, and that's going to be your truth.
Your truth.
Yes. Okay.
I don't think we say what
he doesn't say it's your nightmare, though.
No, but it's your
truth.
I'm
just saying it's a little more inconspicuous at first.
Yeah. So the first story he tells, and that animation kicked ass.
I thought that was
cool.
I loved
it
when
cool
they went
transition
back to,
and like it was. So you had a.
It reminded me of
Deathly Hallows.
Deathly Hallows when they went back and they start telling the story.
Yeah.
And
where it's like it's like CGI. I think it's CG animation, but
CG
it's done
2D,
in like in a watercolor.
Yeah.
because so, like, that was so out of place in Deathly Hallows. Like, I mean, it jumps stylistically to that, and it's so cool looking, and that's the first thing.
It's a black screen is what you're looking at, and then little droplets of pretty much watercolor is what it is come to the screen, and then it forms your picture, and you're told this really interesting story about there's this king, and all of his sons have, like, his wife dies, and then all of his sons die in battle. So all he has left is this young prince, his grandson. And then, like, he marries this witch, and then the king himself starts. It's almost like Game of Thrones, where, like, the witch, he marries this woman, and then he starts getting sick. So people are automatically assuming that she's poisoning him, and she's this wicked queen. The prince grows up, and he becomes loved by the entire kingdom. He ends up falling in love with, like, the farmer's daughter.
But the queen wants to marry him.
But the queen wants to marry him.
So she can solidify her power.
So she could stay queen.
Right.
And, you know.
I like when the kid's like, that's gross.
She's not really related.
I also, that's the other thing. It reminded me a lot of
Princess Bride.
Yeah. Where you can get Ben Savage. Is it Ben?
Yeah.
No, Fred. It's Fred Savage.
Fred Savage. His, like,
ooh, gross.
Yeah, like his narration over Peter Falk, like, as they're telling the story. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, they tell the story where the prince kind of rides away with the farmer's daughter. He wakes up, farmer's daughter is dead, and he's covered in blood.
So who's the prime suspect,
they assume that the queen has killed her, so they lead this revolt.
Well, he goes back and tells people the queen.
Right, that's right. So then there's the revolt against the queen. This is where the wood monster, the tree beard, shows up and, like, starts fighting on the side of the prince, and he kind of takes the queen and takes her away, and he's like I took her away so she can never hurt anybody else again. Like, that's how he begins the story. And then he kind of says, he's like, I put her in another village where she could start over. And he was like, I don't get it, like,
why didn't you kill her?
Yeah. Like, why did you help, why did you save her? And he tells, like, the addendum to this story is, like,
the denouement.
Ooh, very good.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's a hoity-toity podcast.
Epilogue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pinky's up when you're talking.
Yeah. Sorry.
Remember to say enfin when you're done.
Enfin.
We're not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, you're done. You said
you can't move
game
on.
Over, I can't.
Okay, right. Well, thanks for tuning in.
All right, see ya. We'll see you next week. The Ben Affleck movie, Live by Night, will be our next episode. Yeah, so he kind of, like, says, he's like, the king was old, and she loved the king. She didn't kill him. Like, he was never poisoned. It was just one of those things that happened.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then she didn't murder the farmer. The prince murdered to ensure his spot. And the kid's just like, wait a minute.
What?
This story is awful. But he ends up saying, he's like, what happened to the prince? He's like, he became king, and everybody loved him.
And he prospered.
He prospered. It was the kingdom prospered underneath him. And he's like, I don't, like, this story is,
like, then why didn't you stop him? He's the villain.
And he was like, and he goes, sometimes there are no villains.
Yeah.
And I, like, so I was trying to figure, so I thought these stories were going to coincide with where we were in the movie.
Right.
But I couldn't really figure that out. Like, I think the last one did, the one about being invisible.
But that's what I was going to ask, too. Like, you would have to think it's an Aesop's Fable type of thing. Like,
that's,
you told the three stories, but I didn't really get the exact connections. I would have to watch it again. There's a lot.
Yeah, he's
on.
Laying the groundwork to say, you know, basically it's
a long-winded version of life ain't fair.
Well,
and there's pretty sometimes much, there's not a villain. There's maybe it's not all black and white. There's just a lot of gray.
Had we been introduced to Sigourney Weaver at this point?
Introduced.
Yeah, she was inducted.
Yeah,
he wasn't inducted in the Alien.
Yeah, we had because I thought he was going to use these stories in his real life, and that he was going to come up with a way
to get grandma out.
To get grandma out.
Like,
that's what I thought where this was going.
Right.
And I wonder if that was, like, the original plan.
He wanted her. Well, he even asked the monster to
get her out of here.
Yeah. You know, get rid of, you know.
And I was thinking, like, okay, so maybe he's just saying, like.
And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I don't need to save her. You know, we don't need to, you know, save you from her.
Right. 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 Exactly. Where she kind of shows up and she's like, you're going to be staying with me for a few days. Right. And he's like, I'm not staying with you. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And back to your point, Kevin, I don't think this is where it's, because this is based on a novel. And,
is it a newer novel?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But hang on. The novel came out in 2011. So, yeah, it's not too
old. New.
Okay.
Newish
but
for a
movie.
It's
based on a novel, and the screenplay was written by the guy who wrote the novel. So I doubt he would change it that much.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that makes more sense then. But yeah, so I guess maybe I would take it as more of he was preparing him for what he had to do in the end, rather than like exactly one-to-one how to combat, right, like this first story is how you deal with this in real life, because like I think that would be very formulaic storytelling. We've seen movies where they, right, show them, here's this allegory or an Aesop's, right, fable, and this is how you deal with it, and then number two, this is how you deal with this,
right,
but more so teaching him different lessons to then for the his story how
when
to
get,
deal
when
with
you get
it.
To the end of,
yeah,
the story,
but
yeah,
the kid, the way he's processing these is it's all very clear, you know, and so he doesn't understand the ambiguity, and the, right, monster's even like, nope, that's not what I'm trying to say. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of a wax on, wax off thing.
It is. And then, no, that's true. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then
it's
like,
a paint the fence.
But yeah, we'll have another story the next night.
Yeah. Right, right. So,
well, he's about to be a teenager. So there'll be some waxing
that's
off.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say the kid's really good. Like,
yeah,
for,
he's great.
For the most part, I think he's playing off of nothing.
Is he a new actor?
I think so.
Isn't this introduced?
They say, though, that that kids are the best at playing.
I get it.
Because they're
kid,
playing.
Yeah,
well, I think they can pretend.
Book.
Mowgli.
Mowgli.
But they can, it's pretend.
Yeah.
And they still have that part of their brain in a way that adults don't.
Or there's a lot of mocap with Liam Neeson there.
Yeah, there's a lot of mocap. If you've seen any of the behind-the-scenes stuff, there's a lot of mocap with Liam Neeson, who is the voice of the monster. Yeah, so he wakes up. It's at 12:07 every night. So he ends up going, like, his mom.
Which that did exactly what I thought it was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I thought we were going.
Yeah.
Exactly where I thought we were going. So now we find out that his mom probably has cancer. They never say
they're
cancer.
Kind of vague, but
that's
sure
what
impression
are. You know,
that's
she
the impression
has
that
no
I
hair.
Got.
Right. And then when she's looking at wigs.
Nondescript terminal illness.
Yeah. So
she had alopecia.
I don't think that's the way that works. I don't know if you get that sick with alopecia.
Had alopecia and the flu.
Yes, at the same time.
Yes,
cause cancer.
People with alopecia get the flu.
I wish they had that passengers medical
the holodeck.
Yeah,
all of it. You can have it all. So the second day, he goes to school, and there's this bully, and I cannot figure out what was going on with
what
this
was
bully.
His deal.
So like I was like, is he gay? Like, is that why he's constantly like, I mean, so like they're sitting in this classroom, this kid's sitting in the back, and
well, you mean the main character, because the main
character's
the one staring at the bully all
he's
the time,
not
though.
He's just looking ahead.
But every time the bully turns and looks back at him,
he's
the bully
looking at him.
Is looking at him.
He's like, yeah, he doesn't have a snarl.
Like,
he doesn't have.
No, I was like, I think the bully may be struggling with his own sexuality.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what,
no, that's how
I
would take. He's,
yeah,
he's
yeah, yeah.
projecting his own
frustrations
and trying to
like,
cover
kid,
it up. Yeah.
The kid is not doing it. He's looking forward, right? Because that's where the blackboard is.
Right.
And then the bully looks backwards at him.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you staring at me? Why are you always looking? Every time I turn around, you're looking at me. And I'm just like, you're just in my line of sight. Like, I'm not looking at you. Like, I'm looking at the board.
It's kind of reminded me of Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea.
The
that
bully?
Bar.
Yeah, because he was looking you know, ahead at him, and he's like, why are you looking at me? And beats him up. Like, kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So he ends up, like, he doesn't ever get beaten up, right? Like, they're just kind of, they're pushing him around.
They beat him up.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, he's, like, on the ground.
He's on the ground.
Yeah, but they
and
never,
the
they
second,
never.
And the second time, it's, like, almost like a Shawshank Redemption, because they cut away, but they're in the alley. And
they're all walking away, aren't they?
I'm pretty sure they're walking into the direction of the ground with him.
Okay, well, the bully even says, he's like, nobody touches him but me. And I was like, that's, all right.
No, it was definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So the second story. Sorry, my legs.
They didn't just build him to be like the bully.
He's not Scott Farkas.
Yeah, there's
like there's some layers to that character that they do expertly well without having to tell you anything.
Right.
Like, you don't get a backstory for the bully. You can
right.
And they really make you feel bad for our main character, because
like,
this is totally a kid getting picked on for doing nothing, you know, and
sympathize
with
when him. They get to the scene in the cafeteria where he and that picture, you know, I know that situation where you've drawn this picture and you're really happy, and just walks up and pours orange juice on it, and you're just like, you know, like you know, I get.
I may have been cheering our main character.
I think you should have been.
Yes.
So now the mom is getting sicker. She's getting progressively sicker, and we're kind of introduced to. We're told that his dad is coming.
Yeah.
So we know that the end is coming for this character, for the mom. And again, the dad is played by Toby. He was Dr. Doom in the Fantastic
Four.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
In the new one.
Yeah. Yeah, in the new Fantastic
that
Four.
That foreign guy?
Yeah, he was Dr. Doom.
I didn't realize
he's
that.
He's good. He's a great actor.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he was in Rock and Rolla. He was in that really good episode of Black Mirror with the memory chip. Okay.
The one that turned it into a movie.
Yeah, with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was him.
He's a very good actor. So he plays the dad. So he shows up and like takes him out, and it turns out that like his dad and he gives like a legit, you know. The kid asks, he was like, why aren't you and mom together anymore? And he straight up tells him, he's like, look, man, like we were young. We loved each other then. And things just,
he's like, I'll still always love her, but
but like he's kind of, and we're led to believe he's moved to LA. Yeah. He has a new wife and a new child. And like, he even says, he's like, your sister really wants to see you. And he's like, half sister.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel you, kid. Like this is, I'm sure your life, you're right. Stuck here in England with your mother who's sick and your grandmother who's super overbearing and apparently doesn't like you very much anyway.
Dad doesn't want you.
I don't think that's true.
But
what the dad is saying, like, I hear what the dad is saying where he's just like, no, I mean, listen to what he's saying though. Right. So this kid, we're going to say this kid's like what? 8.
Okay.
9. Right. Around there.
Right.
And the dad is saying, he's like, your life is here. He's like, how irresponsible would it be for me to... And obviously...
I don't agree, though. How about a fresh start? He's getting bullied in school. He doesn't want to live with the grandma. His mom is dead. Get him out of there.
Well,
dad doesn't know about
that. Dad doesn't know about all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the dad's also like, our house can barely fit us. Like, he's your child. I don't care. You make it work. Like, I don't think there's any excuse for him not wanting to.
I don't think
with
that,
the mother passing away.
Okay, so, but we don't know what he did after the mom passes away, right?
He's going to live with the grandma.
Well,
but that's
for,
spoiler,
that,
but,
for that time being, or let the kid, you know, we don't know. If, you know, obviously now we're starting to go past that and say, you know.
I just think the dad left them, and I don't think that's excusable.
I don't, I guess.
What's the excuse for that?
There could be there's no reasonable excuse. The only reasonable thing is like his job moved.
He left the country.
He left his kid.
But if his job moves from wherever they are in England to L.A.
So that's okay to leave your kid?
Well, you have to work.
I guess you got to get another job. It's your kid.
Yeah, I don't. But what he's also saying is like you've got your school is here. So I agree with you, Kevin, but
I don't think the dad's a villain, but no. I think he made some poor choices.
Yeah.
And I do think the dad is kind of saying like, look, this is where your life, like, and because he doesn't realize the trouble the kid's having,
right?
So in his mind, he's like, I don't want to just pull you out of this life where this kid's like, oh
pull
my god, that would be
life.
A godsend,
right?
And you know, at least a bright spot in what's going on.
In a super intense scene where you know.
But I'm like, when my parents got divorced, my dad made a similar choice. Like, he didn't leave the country, but he moved to the country. I mean, at the time, it was a pretty good distance,
right?
You know, and I had no official custody or visitation with my dad, and that was him, my mom both worked it out, and he was like, look, you're 12, 13, you're going to be wanting to go to your friends on the weekend.
Yeah, your stuff.
You're going to be in plays, and you're going to do all this stuff, and you're not going to want to be obligated to spend every other weekend with me or whatever. He's like,
right.
So he's like, you can come whenever you want, but we're not going to codify it, because then it starts these fights over, you know.
Sure.
Well, why aren't you here? You have to be here. Are you just using this as an excuse to get away? So, I mean, as someone who's been on both sides of that.
Right.
I think his bad choice was going to L.A.
Yeah. I could see that for sure.
But they take the things that you normally, like, in a lesser movie.
The things that they gloss over.
They just sort of, like, cheapen. And,
right.
Like, so, like, the bully, like... Yeah, he's a bully, but there's something more, and we know that there's
right.
Like
this. I always
do.
I always
more.
Black and white.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is something.
The whole point of the movie,
right?
And like the dad, it's like they don't make him a deadbeat dad. They just make a dad that
a non-present dad,
right. But
who obviously still loves his son.
Yeah, there's no lack of. Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, and just like the grandmother, they don't make the grandmother like a raging.
They do kind of.
No, because
she seems kind of terrible to me.
But but her daughter's dying.
That's also
I know, but
I hear that.
Yeah, but her child is dying.
She's losing a child.
But also, like,
That's right, so my like my mom died before my grandmother died.
Right.
And like and so my mom died, my grandma was 89.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like that was rough right. for her. And you would think at 89 you'd be like, well, you know, not
no, I hear
blase,
you.
But right, like, right, right. It wouldn't be as crushing as like if you were, God forbid, to lose a child now.
Sure,
right,
yeah, sure.
And no, it was just as hard,
just
for
as soul. But at the same time, it's just like your grandson is losing his mother too,
and she's losing a child.
No, yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
I just think the way she treated him, and especially in the beginning, was pretty terrible.
She didn't beat him. She didn't.
Yeah,
she didn't
but
starve were, him. She did like yeah. she. But
she comes from an era with a different parenting
that's,
style.
That's the only, yeah. that's what I took from it is yeah. that it was a different parenting yeah. style for sure.
And I think part of the reason the mom right. mothers like she does is because she didn't like that parenting
right.
style.
Well, it's as we are all parents, I think we see what our parents did, and we're just like that didn't work. That didn't right. work. That did
yeah.
work.
Yeah,
and you take
or
that.
At
and
the
you
time,
make...
I thought that didn't work, and now that I'm on the other side of this,
oh, that worked.
I get why that was happening.
Get yeah, the snitch. Yeah.
But everything that the monster, every story the monster tells is basically, you know, the larger lesson is that you know maybe things aren't exactly the way.
Yeah,
you see them.
You see them.
Right. You step back, take a look at the yeah. situation a little bit differently.
Yeah. Try. You're not there yet. Try telling that to a teenager.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Try telling that to a 5-year-old. What are you talking about? So he stays with his mother. Has gotten sicker. They're gonna try a new procedure to see if they can, you know. And so he goes to stay with his grandmother, mm-hmm. and he's at his grandmother's house. And then at 12:07, the monster shows up and tells this other story. What was this one? This is the one where everything.
Apothecary?
Oh, which is a great story. Like I like that's the story was great. So he tells the story of a healer or apothecary who made his living on you know selling his wares to this small village. He lived off by himself, but he'd go to the village. All of a sudden, there's a pastor or a priest who starts preaching about God and how they don't really need the apothecary anymore. And the apothecary's business dries up, and you know he goes.
And he wants to use the tree.
He becomes reclusive, mm-hmm. is pretty much what happens. And then the priest's daughters get sick. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, tries everything. He prays. He does all this other stuff. And it's not working. So he goes crawling to the apothecary and says, please save my daughters. He's like, we've tried everything. And the apothecary kind of says, he's like, I can save your daughters. Are you willing to give everything? Are you willing to denounce God? Are you willing to give up everything to save your daughters? And he's like, yes. And he was like, then I can't help you.
Right. Does the apothecary, I'm trying to remember, I don't remember the apothecary asking that. I remember the preacher offering that.
Yeah. No, I think he says, he say, like, what would you give up?
Yeah, because the apothecary wants the tree.
Right, right. So the apothecary wants the tree, and the pastor blocks him.
And blocks him, but then
he says, "I will give
everything.
You the." Oh, maybe that's it.
I think
maybe
the apothecary
like,
just
asks the tree.
Him,
I'll give you.
Yeah,
this.
He's asked, "Why should I help you?"
Right, right,
and
right.
And then he offers, like, I don't think the apothecary ever says,
that's
"Give
true.
Me everything."
No,
and
he
I
doesn't.
Think that's why, because I took it
the preacher offers up everything.
Right, and I took it as
that was an entrapment,
and that's why.
No, right, right, right.
Yeah, I took it.
Well,
as,
it kind
that's
of
why the
was entrapment.
I took it. As, that's why the apothecary was so disgusted by him. He didn't okay. ask him to give yeah. up everything.
He just immediately says,
"I will renounce everything I've been preaching forever
right.
to get what I want.
I'll give you your business back. I'll give yeah. you." And the apothecary is like, "I can't help you. I'm sorry."
Yeah,
and that's and then the moral of that story was like, was that you can't put your faith in everything.
Well, he said the main thing I remember was you were willing to give up your faith. Like it was,
yeah. But I think it was also like you can't.
You lost faith.
You can't put your. I don't. Either way, it was just like you can't give up everything to save one thing. Right. I think was kind of like the moral of that story. But
yeah,
at the same,
the kid's torn with that one too. He's like, "What? You know?"
Yeah. Right. 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 And is this the one where he starts breaking everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this
like in the story. The
tree's like, to deal with your anger, what do you want me to break? And then he's like, you try it.
Yeah, they go to the priest's house and they start breaking it down. And he was like, you do it. And
tell me what to break. And he says, break the chimney.
He's
break
like,
this.
That's it. So then we cut back to real life.
And oh,
this kid
man.
Has done all this.
Yeah. This yeah.
Well,
was
also, like
holy
the grandmother has said, don't touch anything, don't do anything.
Especially this grandfather clock that she's very,
very, like, it's her great grandmother's. And I did like the scene where as soon as she walks out the door, the kid's just like running his finger on everything and he's touching everything. Like, he's not doing anything mean.
Well,
like,
and I think that's where the tree finds him, because he like snaps off the one of the hands of the clock and he's like, that's the worst you can do.
No.
I thought he tells him after he breaks off one little thing.
Yeah,
he's like, that's most damage.
Yeah, okay. He's like, that's pretty.
Yeah, that's
pretty
where it's,
and then
yeah.
he breaks everything. He destroys everything.
But man, when they cut back to him, that was like intense. That was just like,
and
it was
gosh. Keith Moon has done less damage.
Joe Walsh.
Like that hotel, you know, it's like.
Oh, that house is trashed.
Well, no, that room is trashed.
The room
is trashed.
He
stayed in that room.
But that room had a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I mean, that was like, whoa.
Right. And then, you know,
she comes home.
I did, like, that scene is
silence
super
for like
into,
5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's
there's not a single word of dialogue.
That is
it's
tension.
All based on Sigourney Weaver, who I think she can be hit or miss.
British accent, Sigourney Weaver?
Whatever. Like, you know, I was willing to.
I would say she's about 90% hit.
You think so?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
We'll get her Wikipedia.
Yeah, I guess
crazy
that's a
on
good
the
point.
Outside.
Yeah.
Hey, she's got to eat.
Yeah.
That.
But, you tried being a 60-year-old actress in Hollywood. That wasn't her fault.
No, that wasn't
did
her
you
fault.
Guys have to see that movie? I know me
no,
and Tom
I
did.
No.
Tim Allen directed.
Oh, is she in that?
And she was in that. Oh, she was like the mom or something. Or all maybe right. the, I don't know, whatever. But, oh.
Yikes.
That was horrible.
Was she in Surviving Christmas?
Tim Allen came and said hi and then jetted out the back of the theater. He didn't
or was
stick
that
around.
Jamie Lee Curtis in Surviving Christmas? Was she?
I don't know. But
anyway, so she kind of walks in and like the door is a little bit ajar. And she can, like, it's super quiet in the house.
Yeah, you see her peeking.
And she, and like, he's peeking around the window, like, the door, and he immediately drops, like, whatever baseball bat or something he had in his hand.
I feel like he put it behind his back or something.
He did initially, and then he dropped it.
Like, he, I
don't know what happened. I walked in here, and it was a tornado
went
off in
here. But, man, it just cuts back and forth, and at the end, he's like, grandmother, please.
Well, and also, I think you can see the look on her face, where she's like, this kid... He's struggling, like he's hurting, and he snapped.
She doesn't even know what to do though at this point.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
how do you deal with like in a room full of priceless antiques like
the,
to you,
the,
like,
the clock is destroyed,
and you just how do you react? Do you get mad? Do you get sad? Like
well,
she
was
frozen.
I didn't know what was going to happen because she walks in and he's just like, I'm sorry.
Well, I
and
thought then, she was going to beat the crap out.
Well,
of him.
Then she takes like something else and then she knocks it over,
right?
And I was like,
and that's where we see where she's going through.
Yeah, right. Totally. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was fearing for
the
kid's
existence.
And
then the kid immediately starts cleaning up.
But see, if they would have done that, then it would have been
then
the
she, it would have been a one
would have been right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't know at first. I'm
right.
like, I mean,
oh,
it was
I mean,
such
she's,
a tense.
She's seething with anger. But
oh, my gosh.
But she also understands his rage.
He's also, like, she gets that he's also seething with anger and pain at the same time.
Yeah.
So, that he goes to sleep, wakes up the next day. Mom is getting worse. At this point, she's not home anymore. She's staying at the hospital. They kind of say
because grandmother's at the hospital and the dad is there making him breakfast.
And there's a room.
Right,
and there's
right.
a room at the top of the stairs that like
he's not allowed to go into.
He's not allowed. He keeps trying to peek into.
Yeah, and he can't see into it.
It's locked.
So then
there's
a
flower with petals falling off of it in a jar.
Yeah, right. A torn painting of what he spoke.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, what she used to look like. I wonder if they're going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I bet it's going to be like Cinderella, like beat for beat kind of remake.
It's going to be Dan Stevens at the end of the movie?
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Beauty and the Beast, in case anybody's wondering. So he wakes up and he goes, you know, this is the same deal where he goes to, this is the scene, he goes to the doctor's office and kind of sits down. Like, he sees a lawyer, I assume it was a lawyer, coming out of his mom's room, walks right past him, talks to the grandma, and I was like, oh man, this is gonna get bad. Like, this is, there's nothing, and I will say, like, the movie doesn't hold back. Like, there's no real happy ending.
No.
Like, you just get an ending,
right,
and you just kind of have to deal with it, you know. So yeah, the dad's there and they're talking, and this is where he's just like, look man, I gotta go back. Like, I have to go back to America, but I'm coming back. Like, I'm gonna be here.
They don't give Americans that much holiday. It's like, you're not Americans, you. But he's like, you're not an American, you ass.
But it's true. Right. Like, it's true. We don't get vacation like other countries
no,
do.
No, like, he, you know, that's...
8 week paternity leaves or whatever they do.
They get paternity, like...
But, I mean, they get, like, 8 or 12 weeks of paternity leave.
I had to do, like, some research. I was like, do we have paternity leave? No?
Some companies are...
Not SLU. I'll tell you that.
I think here they have to, but they don't have to pay you.
Right. It's called FMLA.
Right.
Called. Yeah. So... Yeah, he goes to school, and this is where he's drawing. He's drawing the prince.
Well, at this point, he's seen his mother's condition.
Yeah, she's like she's at the last step.
Yeah, they're gonna try inside the hospital room,
right?
And she's just job.
All oh yeah,
it doesn't look like Felicity she's Jones
bones.
Even at
she's
all.
Bones,
I mean,
yeah, and then the grandma, and this is another scene where you can take it one of two ways, where the grandma's trying to protect him.
Yeah, she shuts the door,
and well, she doesn't really like she slams the door.
Well,
but. I think A, she's like, he's seen too much.
Right.
Like, yeah, like a panic, like, oh shit.
Yeah, right, yeah. exactly. Where he, like, if from the kid, you're just like, you know, from the kid's point of view, he's it seems it. Very abrupt. From her point of view, she's like, he doesn't need to see his mother like this.
Right.
You know? And that's a very smart, and it's, I think, a very difficult thing to portray in film, mm-hmm. is one scene that you can interpret two different ways without having to see it twice. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So this he goes to school and he's sitting at lunch and he's drawing. Oh no, wait! He said the monster says he's like we're not ready for the third story yet.
Does he call him and he's like?
Yeah, he's like, I need your help.
Wake up!
Can you need to save my mom?
He's like, that's not
like
time yet.
The bark from your tree will save my mom, and that's kind of they kind of say that like that's the treatment that they're gonna try. Is that there's this bark from
the tree that they happen to have outside?
The tree
I think
that
they
is
say it's
the monster.
Same tree.
It's
yeah.
The tree is the monster. Like right. that's the
but it's a real tree outside
the
their
tree.
House.
Yeah, the yew tree.
Yeah.
And the bark from that tree, which is the tree that they talk about with the apothecary story, yeah. Can you know has a healing factor to it. Not like Wolverine, but
I don't think anyone was thinking. That.
Well, I just want to make
and
sure.
Thank you, Joe. And the mother thank talks you. About that, and she says, but not that tree because that tree's our friend.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So he is back at school and he's drawing the prince sitting on the throne and this is where the bully walks up
he's pooping
on the throne on the iron throne
on an actual
actual throne
he's like Aaron Tyler Johnson outside a trailer in Nocturnal Animals.
Oh man, it's probably the last time we will ever reference that film.
hope
which nominated for Golden Globe and did not win.
It did. Oh, did it actually get nominated?
Yes, it was nominated and did not win.
For
surprise.
What did it get nominated for?
I just know it's
it's not going to win.
I think there were some surprises because there were movies that did not get nominated.
He got nominated.
He should have gotten nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, who is that guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, for a supporting actor. Yeah. But like, there were some Best Picture nominees. There's only 5 in this. There's not 10 or 8 like the Oscars
that's
does now.
Right. I
and
like
so
that.
But they also have 2 categories. So you can do Best Comedy Musical and you can do.
Right. But like, but when you're, but. But you know, like when there's all these dramas and like Nocturnal Animals was there and Silence, Martin Scorsese's new movie did not even get nominated.
It's not even out yet, is it?
Well, they did to
for
get
award
it, they did to get it released. They pushed it up like they tried to get it out for awards. And let's not kid ourselves, this is the Golden Globes, not the Oscars, but still like to have it not show up is very weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, but okay. Yeah, Nocturnal Animals.
Never again.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there and he's drawing this, you know, a very detailed, very good looking, you know, drawing for a kid that's 8. So the bully walks up. He's like, man, I just don't get your, I don't get your deal. I don't get your story. So.
But he's British, not a hillbilly.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, whatever.
God dang it.
God dang it, man.
He's a British hillbilly.
I just wanted to clarify. I don't, remember
know if I could do a British hillbilly accent. That's tough.
That's Cockney.
It's called Cockney. Right, yeah. So he pours a thing on it and then he's like, you know what, man, I'm done. Like, you're invisible to me. And this
shakes
is
his hand.
Yeah, he was. And I was just like, what? Yeah. All right. It's a very proper British bully.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They don't. He doesn't get like. He's not nasty to him.
No.
But
it also was very mean spirited.
I feel like that's even in a way
it's crueler.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, right.
He's not like you know you're worth my time.
Yeah,
but it still was like you don't even exist, and he was very demeaning.
But
to
it's
him.
It's one of those things where it's like they play it differently than what you would expect.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
You know, in lesser movies, they would have played it.
So then we get the third. This is where we get the monster shows up at school.
Man, tearing through the cafeteria. And this gets, was a cool looking scene.
The third
scene.
Story where he's, I don't remember what the premise of the story
monster
was.
Says,
make him see you.
Yeah.
Like he will
there
see
was a,
you.
There's an invisible man.
Right. Yeah. And he makes him, he figures out a way to make people see
who
him.
Who didn't want to be invisible anymore.
And then the kid.
Well, yeah, the guy.
Oh, that's right.
He summons
right.
a monster. Like, nobody could see him, and he's tired of not being seen.
Right.
So
He summons the monster
so people will notice him, but now.
He's causing destruction.
But now that people see them, but they see him as something.
Bad.
Bad.
Yeah. So he charges this kid and just beats the bejesus out of him.
I'm not invisible.
I'm not invisible. Can you see me now?
And he just starts beating the crap out
right,
of him.
Right, right.
But you're not sad for the bully. I mean, at this point, he's such a terrible person. You're like,
no,
all
but
right.
You're also like, the kid has had enough. You know, he's getting it at school. He's getting it at home. The kid has no reprieve whatsoever from the, and I'm not going to say emotional abuse, but from the emotional onslaught of sadness and, you know,
sense
of loss.
The next scene where he's in
the
principal's office and and she's like, I'm not going to punish you.
Yeah.
Well, like, that happened to him before. Like,
Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, she's like, she just can't say it as a teacher, but she's like,
I get it.
Yeah. And it's
what good is that going to
do?
And
I thought it was an interesting scene because in a way, she did the same thing the bully did.
Yeah. Right. No, that's exactly right.
You know.
She was just like, look.
You're letting
him. You know.
And she did it from a place of compassion. But
right. He did it from a place of contention, I guess.
You sent him to hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, he beat the bejesus.
Yeah, he did.
And so he goes home, or he goes to the hospital, and then this is it. Like, the mom is kind of telling him the medicine didn't work and it's not going to be good. And she's like, what happened to you? It was almost like Star-Lord.
I was going to say, I thought the same exact thing.
Where she's
Star-Lord
like, what happened to your eye, Peter? And he was like, oh, they were poking that frog. He ain't
it's
done
funny,
nothing.
I did the exact same parallel.
There is it doesn't help that movie came out. You know, like, it's the exact same thing with the mom.
Groot.
Peter Quill.
Okay, never mind.
The kid's name's not Peter, is it?
Maybe it's a prequel. Connor O'Malley.
Connor O'Malley, that's right. And then he's sitting there with his mom, and his mom passes away, and that's... We runs away, much like Star-Lord. And this is where
he's abducted by Yondu.
Yeah. They wanted to eat you! This is where he has to reveal his truth, the fourth story. And man, that's...
But before he does, though, he goes to the cemetery where the tree is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the ground opens up.
No.
Well, he's been having this reoccurring nightmare.
Dream, he's been having this dream of, like, him holding on to... You can't see who it is, but you can assume that it's his mom.
Yeah.
That's all you can see.
And she's like the ground opens up. She's about to fall. Yeah. He's holding on to her.
And she's
starting to slip away.
Right.
And then I thought
that was interesting how they cut away from it. You know, most movies would show her.
You get his reaction,
but you don't see her fall into the
pit. I feel like his reaction is way worse.
No, it's better. I like it because, like I said,
not worse in a bad way.
Most times you would see, you know, Darth Maul flying down the cavern and getting smaller. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, most times you would see that. It's just such a cliche thing of someone falling down a hole and getting smaller and fading. Yeah. But like in this one, it's just him.
You just see his reaction.
Less is more in this.
Yeah. So he tells his story and he says, you know, he relives the whole thing. He relives the whole dream. And finally he says, I wanted her to die. Like, I wanted this pain to stop. That's my truth. It's like, I didn't want to do this anymore. He's like, every day she was hurting and every day she was in pain. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't do it. He's like, this is what I wanted. And the monster's like, good to know.
Yeah.
You know, he was
and
like,
he's like that. And that's not an uncommon feeling.
Yeah. And right, people feel that all the time.
Yeah.
And
that doesn't make you a monster.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then he goes, he is dealt with this pain of all of this. And he goes to see his mom, and they have that last moment. And of course, at 12:07, is when she dies.
Right.
Well, yeah. He falls asleep at the tree.
Yeah.
Grandmother gets him.
Right.
They have to make it back. They're stuck by a train, and they're trying to get they're rushing back
to get back to the hospital.
And that's when the grandmother they have a moment where
I thought that was at the house.
No, it's
in the car.
And she's like, you know, well,
we're different, but we're not that. Like, we both love her.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just different people.
And it's
we have
like she says
common.
Enough yeah. to, you know, it's like, look, we're going to have to make it work.
Yeah, we're going to have to find a way to make this work.
Yeah.
And yeah, so mom passes away. And that's where I thought it was going to end. And you get a nice
little... and the grandmother's there, too.
Yeah, everybody's there. And it's, you know, except for dad, who's not there.
But you do get an epilogue.
Yeah, you get a nice little epilogue where he goes...
Denouement.
Oh?
Yeah.
Don't say it, Joe.
Yeah, I won't.
We still got more.
Yeah. Pinkies up.
So they go back to the house, and she kind of says, that's yours. And she points to the door that has been locked the entire time. And he opens the door, and it's his room. And on the table... is this books that because I guess his mother
the
was
mom
a, the mom was an artist
drawn,
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, she liked monsters
yeah,
and comic books and,
as well she should have
yeah
so he's flipping through and
well,
as,
it was his mother's room wasn't it
yes
yeah, yeah. But it became his like it was yeah.
oh
his
I
room.
Thought you were saying
it
was she slid him back into his
no.
own
no,
room
no,
I was
no,
like,
no
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 no his room is now what had been his mother's
yes correct so she's got like this art book and he opens it and inside is you know, a picture of the prince.
The prince. It's all the
and
stories.
And then a picture of the apothecary, and then a picture of the invisible man. And
which
then,
is just a blank page.
Yeah. It's just etched like a very light outline. And then you get, like, the picture.
Picture of a little
so he,
girl
so,
on the tree
so he
monster.
Had he had drawn the he had drawn the monster as well.
Yeah.
So when he turns the page, it's almost the exact same drawing as that he had done previously. Yeah, and
I like that last picture. The little girl is on the tree monsters.
Yeah.
So it's like when she talks about he's our friend, like they both had the same imaginary friend.
Or was
monster.
He imaginary?
I don't think he was imaginary.
That's what I'm saying.
I the tree's imaginary.
Right.
Right.
But it's the grandfather.
That's
yeah.
Oh, I guess I should have mentioned that. Like, because they're looking at pictures.
There's a picture on the wall of
Liam Neeson
holding a little girl.
Yeah,
I took it to be that the grandfather had told all these stories to her.
Right.
And
she
they had been passing
them
down.
Yes.
And,
that's cool. Yeah.
And so
that's what I interpreted as well.
Yeah. And it was nice the way they did it. Like, it wasn't like
they didn't beat you over the head with it.
They didn't like here's a picture of like it's there.
Yeah.
The camera kind of pans across a wall. It's up in a corner.
I think he's holding it.
No, it's
it
on the wall.
It
I back it up. I back
okay.
it up.
They show it twice. They show it one time just like on the, you know, on the grandmother's like, you know.
Yeah.
She's got it with a bunch of photos. And they just kind of pan past it.
Yeah.
And then it is on the wall too in the daughter's room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, they didn't do the whole Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining on the photo.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't make it the
he'd been
reveal.
Here the whole time.
Right. Like it's like it can
it's
work
very subtle.
On a lot of different levels and it doesn't beat you over the head with
I
it.
I get it. The rat stands for obviousness.
Right. Yeah.
But I do like that and oh my god, before I just lost my dang it.
So that happens when you get old, man.
I know, right? Yeah. I must be getting a lot older. But
it's
no,
only going to get worse.
Pictures.
But the fact that it wasn't obviousness, like this movie doesn't spoon feed you things. I like how throughout you do have to interpret it for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying. Like if this is teaching kids a lesson, like the main character is a child and he's going through these things and the movie does that in a way that like a very adult kid, again, not a 5-year-old, but you know, a 10 or a 13-year-old, like it's trying to teach them through these stories and everything, but like they don't sugarcoat things. And that's why it's getting so much acclaim because it's like, it doesn't pull any punches.
Right.
It doesn't spoon feed you anything, you know? So it's very well done in that storytelling.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think it's a very smart movie.
And
I would not call it a kid's movie. I would
say it's about as much a kid's movie as Pan's Labyrinth.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe about
which is
the
very
same,
similar
on
like
the same level.
I feel
like
Pan's Labyrinth is like, that next step up.
Well, but also, I mean, it's using, you know, sort of a fantasy world.
Yeah,
to,
that's
to
true.
Deal
that's
with
true.
The reality, and it was
such an you don't really see movies deal with a subject like this very much in terms of not just the death and the cancer, but the fact that sometimes in those moments you feel ugly things and that you feel bad for feeling them. But that
they're not wrong,
but that and they're not uncommon.
Right.
Like I know when my mom was sick, she was like in and out of comas and hospitals for like 3 or 4 months. And it was like every day, either my sister or myself would go to the hospital. Like, you know, because, you know, every day. And you do reach a point where you're like, look, if this ain't going to turn around, just like let's wrap it up.
Let's call it a day.
And some people do that for years. So I don't mean to say like, you know, like my like that was just, oh, my God, poor me. But it's like but it's like you have this moment, these moments of like, can we just kind of wrap this up? That'd be nice. And then you feel like a for thinking that.
But at the same time, like,
and I felt that at 40.
You know? Oh, yeah, sure. Imagine feeling that at 9.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way they wrapped it up, I will say that, like, I like what they did with the grandfather being the one that passed the stories down, because otherwise I think it's too cute. The fact that they both imagined the same imaginary monster selling the same stories, like, how coincidental and cutesy would that be?
Right.
So the fact they came from somewhere shows that next level of intelligence to the script.
Sure.
It's a smarter movie for doing that. So it's like, yes, I'm glad they did that. Because I was starting to think, I'm like, well, he's our friend. Like, did she tell him stories about the tree? Or, like, are they both just seeing the same thing magically? Like, what is it? But it's very real world. It's just their stories.
No, yeah.
So it's
And that's
cool.
why the tree was the friend, because her dad told stories about the tree, too.
Yeah.
So it's and again, it's all things that it's, and this is what makes it a good script. It's things that you can surmise from what's on screen.
Right.
It's not you writing the screenplay for them.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That sometimes you end up
well,
maybe this is what they were doing. There's no maybe. Like,
this is what they were saying.
It's all there.
Right. This is one of those ones where we don't have to write a script for
it. It's not did the top fall over or did it stay spinning?
Yeah. I don't even mind that as much.
Yeah, I don't even mind that so much.
Because that was
it's still unclear. Like, this stuff's there.
Expertly done was that.
I know movies were like, well, I think, though, that what this might have happened, it caused this character to do that. And it's like, but there's nothing to base that on.
I don't need to know what made Hannibal Lecter. He just was like this force of nature.
But they made that movie.
They did. Yes, they did.
But didn't they make that TV show too?
Yeah, but that was
they made the TV show. Well.
The TV show was all about, like, that was pre Red Dragon. Yes.
Right, but that's the good stuff, right?
Stuff that we don't have a backstory for Hannibal Lecter until, like, we don't see Hannibal Lecter until Red Dragon. And at that point he's already been caught.
Yeah.
Like, Will Graham's already caught him. So the first, like, two seasons of Hannibal is the relationship between Hannibal and Will Graham.
But he is a killer.
But he's already a killer. So we don't know.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
he's already the Hannibal Rising,
which was that cheese ball movie.
Yeah.
Who was in that?
A Blockbuster exclusive. That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I was thinking Red Dragon, I guess.
No, Red Dragon is the first book.
Yeah.
Red Dragon, Sons of Lambs.
But there's
Hannibal.
A prequel that
called Hannibal
straight
Rising.
To Blockbuster?
Mm-hmm. Hannibal Rising was the name of it.
It was really called a Hannibal Rising.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They were that lazy.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, so that's this movie. Yeah. Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah. Pairs of Everett. No.
I didn't spoil that one.
No.
The Never Ending Story.
There's a lot of movies I was like trying to get to a good parallel movie. And the one that kind of, it's not really the same plot devices, but it's the 1994 movie Heavenly Creatures, early movie by Peter Jackson,
and it's a very good movie.
And it's these two girls in 1950s New Zealand, and it's basically they have a very, very close friendship, and through their friend, you know, while, you know, the one girl's from an affluent family, although there seems to be issues with her and the family, and then the other girl's from a broken family, and it's her mom, and she's from a less affluent area, and the bond that they slowly grow, and in becoming friends, they, you know, they're like 14,
right?
You know, they're early teens, and one of the girls is Kate Winslet. This is like one of her very, very first movies, and they start writing stories. They love going to the movies. They love, you know, they create a fantasy world, and they start writing these stories, and they start becoming more and more obsessed with this fantasy world that they've created. And as their friendship gets stronger and stronger, they're getting driven further and further apart, because, like, the one girl's family, they want to move away, and they also find out she's got tuberculosis, and it's like, so they're being pulled apart as they're trying to create this fantasy world. And we see the fantasy world, and it's very, you know, it's these plastic figures that they've got, and we see them, like, become, you know, brought to life as full size, and it gets very uncomfortable and surreal. It's very Peter Jackson, like, or, you know, kind of creepy.
Like, you see why he went the direction he did.
Yeah.
Yes. Even though this isn't necessarily the type of movie you would expect from him in retrospect.
Was this pre Dead Alive?
No,
that's
right after.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, this is a true story.
Yes. And then it basically comes to a head when they and thinking that they'll be able to stay together, but they team up and kill the mom.
Yee!
Yeah. And it was a huge, huge scandal in New Zealand, which wasn't really
the one girl grows up to be a relatively famous mystery writer.
Yeah.
And with a different name.
Yeah.
And then this story eventually came out that she had been this girl.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so
it's really worth checking out. It is really well done.
Yeah. And it's a great.
I didn't know that part.
But it is like, you know, sort of like get in and out of this fictional world, you know, as a result of the, you know, what the events in the real world.
Right.
It's one of those ones that kind of got lost.
It was a pretty big art house movie at the time.
It was really big.
But it's not necessarily something people still talk about. But it's totally worth checking out.
And it's, very, very similar in how they use, you know, the fictional world to respond to the real world.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can continue the conversation online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. That's it for this episode. Coming up next week, I think we're going to skip the box office. We're going to do two movies.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're probably going to do Live by Night, the Ben Affleck gangster movie. And if you like it when we review movies that are crappy...
you're in luck.
You are in luck because we've decided to take on monster trucks.
Yeah.
So it looks delightfully awful. So that's it for this time. All right, until next episode, Clifford breaks Moody's nose.
I am Groot. 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 I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot. I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot. I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot. I am Groot, I am Groot. I am Groot, I am Groot. I am Groot, 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 I am Groot. I am Groot, 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 I am Groot. I am Groot, 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 I am Groot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We are...